ശസ്ത്രാം കിം ന ശ്വസന്തുത ന ഖാദന്തി ന മേഹന്തി കിം ഗ്രാമേ പശവോ പരേ സർവഃ കിം ന ജീവന്തി ഭസ്ത്രാ കിം ന ശ്വസന്തുത ന ഖാദന്തി ന മേഹന്തി കിം ഗ്രാമേ പശവോ പരേ തരവഹ കിം ന ജീവന്തി ഭസ്ത്രാം കിം ന ശ്വസന്തുത ന ഖാദന്തി ന മേഹന്തി കിം ഗ്രാമേ പശവോ പരേ. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation: Do the trees not live? Do the bellows of the blacksmith not breathe? All around us, do the beasts not eat and discharge semen? Purport: The materialistic man of the modern age will argue that life or part of it is never meant for discussion of theosophical or theological arguments. Life is meant for maximum duration of existence for eating, drinking, sexual intercourse, making merry and enjoying life. The modern man wants to live forever by the advancement of material science, and there are many foolish theories for prolonging life to the maximum duration. But the Srimad Bhagavatam affirms that life is not meant for so-called economic development, eating, mating, drinking and merrymaking. Life is solely meant for tapasya, for purifying existence, so that one may enter into eternal life just after the end of the human form of life. The materialists wants to prolong life as much as possible because they have no information of the next life. They want to get the maximum comforts in this present life, because they think conclusively that there is no life after death. This ignorance about the eternity of the living being and the change of covering the material world has played havoc in the structure of modern human society. Consequently, there are many problems multiplied by various plans of modernized man. The plans for solving the problems of this human society only aggravated the troubles. Even if it is possible to prolong life more than 100 years, advancement of human civilization does not necessarily follow. The Bhagavatam says that certain trees live for hundreds and thousands of years. At Vrindavan there is a tamarind tree, the place known as Imlitala, which is said to have existed since the time of Lord Krishna. In Calcutta Botanical Garden, there is a banyan tree said to be older than 500 years. And there are many such trees all over the world. Swami Shankaracharya lived only for 32 years and Lord Chaitanya lived 48 years. Does it mean that the prolonged lives of the above mentioned trees are more important than Shankar or Chaitanya? Prolonged life without spiritual value is not very important. One may doubt that the trees have life because they do not breathe. But modern scientists like Bose have already proved that there is life in plants. So breathing is no sign of actual life. Bhagavatam says that the bellows of the blacksmith breathes very soundly, but that does not mean that the bellows has life. The materialist world will argue that life in the tree and life in the man cannot be compared because the tree cannot enjoy life by eating palatable dishes or by enjoying sexual intercourse. In reply to this, the Bhagavatam asks whether the other animals like dogs and hogs living in the same village with human beings do not eat or enjoy sexual life. The specific utterance of Srimad Bhagavatam in regard to other animals means that the person who are simply engaged in planning a better type of animal life consisting of eating, breathing and mating are also animals in the shape of human being. A society of such polished human animals cannot benefit suffering humanity, for an animal can easily harm other animal but rarely do good. ओम ज्ञानतिमिरंदस्य ज्ञानंजनशलाकय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं जनतस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः. नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनि नाम्ने नमस्ते सारस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रसारिणी निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पश्चात देशतारिणी श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शुभ श्री गौर भक्तवृंद. हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण. टुडे इज वेरी वेरी ऑस्पिशियस डे. टुडे इज शरद पूर्णिमा, फुल मून नाइट. सो फॉर माय प्यूरिफिकेशन आई ट्राई टू एक्सप्लेन लिटिल बिट अबाउट टुडे इज फेस्टिवल लीला, द डिवाइन पास टाइम ऑफ कृष्णा डांसिंग विद द गोपीज इज एक्चुअली एन हाईएस्ट टॉप मोस्ट प्योरेस्ट form of love, the loving reciprocation between Jiva and Krishna, this highest form of love. So I have prepared my class from Jiva Goswami's Gopal Champu, Kavi Karnapur's Anand Vrindavan Champu, Rupa Goswami's Ujjwal Nilamani, and some portion from Garga Samhita. Thank you. Hare Krishna. So this divine dance of Sri Radha and Krishna and the gopis is so pure, even the celebrities of these universes like Shiva, who is a god of all gods, even he begs, even he wants to participate in this beautiful divine leela of Krishna's Rasa Leela. And then after taking bath in Radha Sarovar, he gets the body of a female gopi, becomes a Gopeshwar Mahadev. So just imagine, this Leela of Krishna's dancing with the gopi is so pure, even the highest god Mahadeva, even he also wants to participate. And other gods, they know it's not possible even to participate. So they simply, the folded hands, they worship this divine Leela. Not just appreciating, they worship this beautiful Leela of Krishna dancing with the gopis. And what to speak of sages and rishis, those who are pure-hearted souls. Since time immemorial, they are all been singing and praising the glories and glorification of Radha Krishna's and Gopi's beautiful dance. So therefore, one must understand that I may not understand this beautiful dance of the Gopis with Krishna, but it is very pure. Because sometimes we may not be qualified to understand. Krishna is up to coming. He is full self-satisfied. He does not need anything or anyone for his satisfaction. He is Aptakami. Therefore you will find even Krishna loved Shabari, who was an old crippled bodied lady. He loved even Kubja. He loved Gajendra. He loved Prahlad. So that shows that Krishna is not interested in the body. Krishna is interested in the heart. Those who have pure heart, they want to serve Krishna. Krishna serves them. Krishna reciprocates with them. Bhoktaram yagya tapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram suhridam sarvabhutanam yatvamam shantim ruchati. Krishna is the original beneficiary of all the sacrifices and the yajnas. And he is the suhrad. He is the well-wisher, lover and beloved of all the living entities. So when one understands this, one becomes fully happy and satisfied. But unfortunately, the modern philosophers, so-called scientists or intelligent people, they cannot understand this. Because the activities of their mundane love is so dull and so pathetic. So they cannot compare their love with Krishna's love. So therefore, it is very difficult to understand Krishna's pastime with the mundane intelligence. So we cannot understand through logic, arguments, why did Krishna do this, how did Krishna do it. So we have to surrender at the lotus feet of the Vaishnavas and Krishna. Then with their blessings, with the sadhana, we may one day become eligible to understand Krishna's Leela. Srila Rupa Goswami Pad writes in Ujjwal Neelamani that the path or ways of devotional service or ways of Krishna's love is very crooked. It is not straight. Just like a snake. Snake crawls on the road. Even the road is straight, but a snake will not go straight. Snake will go like crooked way. Someone may say, why are you not going straight? Because it is his nature. Snake always crawls crooked way. So similarly, Rupa Goswami also gives another example. Like a river. River's flow or a course is also very crooked. You won't find like a river directly starts from Himalaya, directly goes to Kanyakumari straight. No. River also flows like a snake, crooked way. Sometimes there is a deep water into the river. Sometimes it is a crooked turns in the river. Sometimes it also swiftly and gently flows. Sometimes there are violent whirlpools in the river. So we cannot predict that this river has to flow straight. The depth everywhere in the river should be same. No, sir. So similarly, the ways of Krishna bhakti or Krishna prem is also crooked. So we cannot say that, okay, Krishna has to perform Leela in this way so that I should understand. No. So, on this particular day of Sharad Purnima, especially at the sunset, Krishna ascended to the rooftop of his bungalow, his palace, Nanda Bhavan, and he looked out towards the eastern direction, and he saw the rising full moon. So when Krishna looked at the rising full moon, he started speaking to the moon. And then he started thinking in his mind, oh, is it a circle of red kumkum? Then he says, no, it's not a red kumkum. And then Krishna says, oh, is it a face of Sri Radha? So then the moon god, he himself starts interfering. He says, I am moon. Oh, Krishna says, okay, you are a moon, okay. But then Krishna, very jokingly, in a lighter mode, he says that, oh moon, please do not become proud of your effulgence, of your moonlight. Because your moonlight, you think that your moonlight has no peer in this world, no comparison. But your moonlight has nothing to look close to you and Radha's toenails. Radha's toenails are more brilliant, effulgent than your full moon moonlight or moon rays. But then moon very humbly accepts, yeah, it is true. Then Krishna also laughs. Then Krishna says to the moon, okay, tonight you have got some seva. So then Krishna understands the hearts of the gopis, and then he wants to reciprocate with those gopis of Vrindavan Dham. We have been waiting for millions of years or millions of lifetimes even कि सम ऑफ देम वेयर साधना सिद्ध गोपीज, सम ऑफ देम वेयर नित्य सिद्ध गोपीज, ऑल द जीवात्माज वेयर डूइंग सेवा फॉर कृष्णा, नाउ दे हैड टेकन बर्थ इन वृंदावन धाम. सो कृष्णा अंडरस्टूड नाउ दिस इज द टाइम टू रेसिप्रोकेट विद देयर लव. सो कृष्णा वेंट टू द बैंक्स ऑफ जमुना इन वृंदावन फॉरेस्ट एंड ही स्टार्टेड प्लेइंग अपॉन हिज फ्लूट एंड इमीडिएटली द फुल मून रोज क्विकली in the sky and took his position. Moon took his position in a particular place and he started shining his moon beams. So the acharyas compare the moon, full moon was looking like a filaments of huge camera to take the shooting of Radha Rasa Lila pastimes. This moon was looking like a silver boat which carries everyone from the ocean of this sky, blue sky. This ocean, or sorry, this moon, it was looking as if like a Sugriva who is a master of Tara. His wife is Tara. So he is a master of Tara. So the moon is also master of stars, Tara. So this moon was looking so beautiful. This moon looked like an egg which is born from the swan of autumn season. And then this moon also looked like, because the moon was against these dark clouds, the dark cloud and the moon is white. So this moon was looking like a Panchajanya council which was hanging at the chest of Lord Krishna. So this full moon also looked like an oyster with full with a oyster shell which is full like pearls. So in this way the moon was ready for Krishna's service. So now Krishna started playing upon his flute. So now our acharyas gives beautiful explanation of Krishna's flute playing, or how important is, or glorious Krishna's flute is. All the gods in the heavenly planet, most of them, they are very expert in music. They know the knowledge of science of music, musical instruments. But then when they hear Krishna's flute, they just keep quiet. They just bow their head. Jiva Goswami writes, they simply bow their heads and accept that, okay, Krishna, we cannot understand the rhythm, tal or sur or the rag of this flute. So they simply accept this. When the cows of Vrindavan Dham, when they hear Krishna's flute, what happens? They drink the beautiful divine sound of Krishna's flute through their ears and they become mesmerized and they start thinking, what is this nectar? So beautiful, so nectarian. Can it not be tasted by the tongue? Because they were hearing and drinking this nectar through their ears. So they were asking others, can it not be tasted through the tongue? So in this way, all the cows, because they wanted to, they are already hearing through the ears, but they wanted to taste through the tongue, therefore they stopped eating grass. So now, when they heard a flute sound, they immediately rushed towards Krishna and they started gazing at beautiful face, full moon face of Krishna. Now the gopis are saying, these cows are so fortunate. They are drinking Krishna's divine that flute sound, that nectar, and at the same time they are so fortunate they can gaze at Krishna's face. Our situation is same like the cows. We are also drinking Krishna's that flute nectar through our ears, but we cannot gaze at Krishna's face. There is a restriction, there are restrictions for us. It's so unfortunate. And then they say, look at these deers. These deers, when they hear Krishna's flute sound, they immediately run towards Krishna, and they are so fortunate. They are coming towards Krishna along with all their family members, including their husbands. The does or deers, they come to Krishna to hear flute along with their family members, along with their husbands. But we are not so fortunate. See these peacocks, the birds, and all the creatures of this Vrindavan forest. When Krishna is playing his flute, they have started dancing. In fact, the whole Vrindavan forest has become the dancing arena. All these peacocks and everyone is dancing. They are so fortunate. They are hearing the flute sound. At the same time, they are dancing. But we are not so fortunate. We can only hear. If we start dancing, then there will be objects. So the gopis, they speak in this way. And then Jiva Goswami writes that, then the gopis say, look at these rivers. These rivers are the wives of ocean. So as a chaste lady, they should rush towards the ocean. But when they hear Krishna's flute, they stop flowing towards the ocean. And they run towards Krishna. Wherever Krishna is, their flow goes towards Krishna. And they try to embrace Krishna's lotus feet with the arms and hands of their waves. And they offer all their wealth, whatever they have, they offer their wealth in the form of these lotus flowers at the lotus feet of Krishna. So they don't care whether they are married to ocean, their husband is ocean. They don't care. Now Krishna is playing the flute. They simply rush towards Krishna. But we are not fortunate like the rivers. Of course, Jamuna Mai is the only river who doesn't accept anyone husband like ocean. She doesn't merge into ocean. She disappears in Prayag. So all other rivers, they accept ocean as their husband. Yamuna Mai doesn't accept. So all these rivers are so fortunate. And then the gopis say, look at these clouds. The clouds, when Krishna plays or sing Rag Megha Mallar, these clouds, they immediately put a shade on Krishna's body and they start showering droplets of water upon Krishna. And these clouds are so fortunate because they are nourished by Krishna's flute sound. The clouds are nourished by Krishna's flute sound and therefore they also do paropakar, serving others. They shower that water or raindrops to everyone. Then the gopis say, maybe because of this reason, the clouds are very dear to Krishna. We have accepted Krishna as our master. We have surrendered to him, but we are not doing any seva. So our lives have become useless. But these clouds, they are not only dancing on the rhythms of Krishna and the flutes of Krishna, they are also doing service to Krishna. So now some of the girls from Pulinda community, they start asking question to Krishna. My dear Krishna, what kind of a pious activities or a punya karma this flute has done? The flutes have done. Because this flute is simply a bamboo stick which has some holes. But it enchants the entire universe. It always remains at your lotus lips. So what is it in this that flute? A small bamboo stick. But then they say, although this bamboo stick has holes, the flute has holes, but this flute doesn't have any defects. Doesn't have any problems or defects in this flute. The flute also is also, although it has a hollow within, but it produces a different ragas. Then the gopis say, this flute looks very hard. Because the bamboo stick is very hard. But this hard bamboo stick converts the hard heart into soft heart. So even if the person is hard-hearted, but this hard stick or hard flute turns their hard heart into soft heart. And then the gopis say, this flute is so glorious. It removes the anxiety of all the living entities and submerges them into the bliss, ocean of bliss. So the only solution to solve all the problems of this world, to remove all the anxieties and worries of this world, then let Krishna play his flute. Let everyone hear Krishna's flute. So the gopis say that this flute not only removes the anxiety, but it also brings joy to all the universe. And the another quality of flute is explained. Generally, Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma Na Shochati Na Kangshati. All the liberated souls, there is nothing in this world which can attract them. Because they have already become detached from everything, all the material pleasures, they have become detached. But this flute sound, this flute has such a magic in it. This flute can make your liberated soul restless. They also start developing some desires within their heart. Although they have become free from all the desires, but the flute sound creates desire within their heart. Of course, those desires are pure desires to serve Krishna. Even the liberated soul becomes restless. And then the gopis, they give beautiful another example. This flute has such a magic and power within it. It can melt stone and woods. Even a stone and wood can become moistened by the Krishna's flute sound. So this is the glory of Krishna's flute. Now, especially on this particular night of Sharad Purnima, full moon night, when Krishna started playing upon his flute, that sound penetrated the layer of ether and reached Vrindavan town. And what is the effect? What happened when this sound of Vrindavan, sound of flutes, reached the town of Vrindavan? Generally, Krishna plays his flute, and all the living entities are enchanted, all the animals, birds, including the gods. But this day or this night, this flute playing of Krishna is meant only for the gopis. Now this sound is heard only by the gopis. So when that sound reached Vrindavan Dham, Vrindavan town, it, although the sound was so sweet, but it uprooted the heart of the gopis. It melted the heart of the gopis. Not only that, the sound vibration of Krishna's flute made the Krishna, the gopis' mind in such a state, they became insane. Their intelligence was robbed. And they became completely captivated by Krishna's flute. Although they had no prior plan for rendezvous, Krishna's meeting, but now suddenly when they heard Krishna's flute, they immediately dropped down all their activities. Most of them were busy doing their household duties, responsibilities, but as soon as they heard Krishna's sound, they immediately, of course Bhagavatam gives elaborate, you know, explanation. They were putting their upper garments, the lower, all the details are given. So Goswami also gave some explanation. So the gopis left their house. They left their house, lifeless house. It's mentioned lifeless house. And they left as if like a prisoner is running from the prison. Suppose like a prisoner they are put in a jail. And punishment is for 30 years. But now somehow the door is open. Nobody knows in the night. The door is open. with what speed the prisoner can move, the prisoners can run. To that, with that speed, gopis started running towards Vrindavan forest. It is mentioned that the gopis were not running. They were flying in the sky with the help of their anxious heart. When they were flying in the sky or running with the speed of a flying, their veils were flapping in the air. So it appeared that it was a flag, victory flag of a Cupid. And they were declaring their submission towards Krishna. The flag is already raised in the sky. Yes, Krishna, we are subordinate to you. So when they were running towards Krishna, their veils were flapping. So their gorgeous divine bodies were looking like a flag of Cupid. Although some of the gopis, they have not worn their armlets. Only in one hand they were worn the armlets. But even those arms without armlets were looking more beautiful than the branches of the celestial trees of Vaikuntha planets. The trees, especially the branches of the trees of the Vaikuntha planets, they look so beautiful. But the gopis' hands without armlets or a bracelet, they are looking more beautiful than the branches of the celestial trees. So now, when the gopis reached in the forest and they saw Krishna is in the threefold bending form, playing upon his flute, he was looking so beautiful. So they, although they had given up all their shyness, but because they were born in a pious family, saintly families, therefore just they kept quiet. They didn't speak any word. They just looked at Krishna and stood quiet. So then Krishna started speaking. So then Krishna says, "O gopis, why have you come to this forest? I know you must have endured hard troubles to come to this place. But it's very risky. There are so many wild animals around in this forest. It's better you should go immediately back to your house. And moreover, you also have the responsibilities of your family duties, your husbands and other family members." So now here, very interesting. Jiva Goswami ji, he gives explanation. Amongst all our Gaudiya Acharyas, Jiva Goswami ji is a follower of soft Parikya Bhava. So, of course, because he has so much concern for the living entities, therefore he always tries to give the explanation. So he writes, yes, gopis were married with Krishna. Jiva Goswami says that gopis were married with Krishna, but only problem is their marriage had no consent from the public. They were legally, officially married to Krishna, but they had no public consent. So therefore it is parikya. So Jiva Goswami says, the gopis were married to another coward boys. That is also true. But that marriage is an illusion. It is just, Rupa Goswami writes, that it is just a creation of Yoga Maya. It is not actual, it is not real. It is just an illusion. Just like, you know, when a small girl, she sees her mother cooking in the kitchen, preparing so many delicious items. Now she also desires, you know, harbor the desire of cooking. So then, she says to mummy, I also want to cook. But then mummy knows she cannot handle with the fire. So she brings the whole setup of kitchen, plastic setup. Plastic stove, plastic burner, plastic vessels, everything plastic. So then what happens? The girl, the small girl, 4 or 5 years old, she's very busy preparing some bhogas, kitchen. So now, Even if she works hard for 10 hours, is there any result? The plastic, it is everything plastic, plastic, plastic. No fire, no actual ingredients there. So result is zero. So similarly, although the gopis were married, they had a husband, but our Goswami is right that they never met together. They had never connection together, they had not even seen each other. Then how to understand this? The gopis, shadows, the gopas were married with the gopis shadow. It's just an illusion. It is not real. So even if you find somewhere the description that the gopis had husbands, they also had children, and then they were feeding their children, it's all a drama. It's not even a drama. It's just an illusion. There was mental understanding that we are married, okay? That's all. There is nothing more than that. So Jiva Goswami ji explains this in this way. So now someone may say, but then what is the need of this Parakiya Bhav? Why not just to get legally married like a Dwarkavasis? All the 16,108 wives of Krishna, legally, officially, no problem, no objection. They are all married to Krishna. So why not have the same Leela in Vrindavan Dham also? Aha. Our Goswami is right beautifully. Because in the loving emotions, when there is opposition, when there are some problems, when there are troubles and opposition, love intensifies. With the opposition, love intensifies. And also, the Acharya is right, when there is a risk, there is more attraction and more surrender. Take for example, Dwarka, Rukmini Devi, Satyabhama, or any other queen of Dwarka, if they want to embrace Krishna, is there any problem? They can embrace Krishna anytime. Even in the presence of others, they never did that. But even in the presence of others, even they want to embrace Krishna. There is no risk. Because they are officially married. But for gopis, they had to make a plan. They had to wait. They had to make so many arrangements. And even if someone, there is a fear. If someone, forget about embracing Krishna. Even if someone comes to know that I harbor that thought, I have that feeling of Krishna Prem within my heart, that is also objectionable. See, so much of risk is involved in gopis' love. Every time they have to be all the time cautious. And the problem of love of Krishna is, it is very unpredictable. Whenever there is no need of showing Krishna Prem, immediately that comes up. Like a gopi, she is always absorbed in Krishna. She is always thinking about Krishna all the time, 24 hours. But then it is happening in the mind. But when there are all the elderly family members are present, immediately that thought turns into words. And she immediately says to Krishna, "Oh Krishna, you didn't come. Yesterday you told me that you will come on the banks of Jamuna. But you didn't come. I was waiting for you." Now, see, 24 hours is happening in the minds of the gopis. But now it is not, there is no need of this prem or love should come in the word form. And that too in the presence of elderly people. So it embarrasses the gopi. So there is so much of risk in Parakiya Bhav. And therefore, that supreme, absolute, supremely independent Krishna, no one can purchase him, no one can impress him. But the gopis' love, Vrindavan's gopis' love is so high. There is, every moment there is so much of attraction, there is so much of surrender. Therefore, Krishna is even attracted towards the gopis' love. And therefore, sometimes you will find this Parakiya Rasa is also required. So now, all the gopis, they started, when they came towards Krishna, it's like all the rivers merging into the ocean. All of them came from different direction, because nobody knew. Everyone was thinking that this flute was calling, Krishna was calling me alone. So there was again risk. How can I go alone to the Vrindavan forest? They didn't know that even other Sakis, other Manjari, they are also coming. So there is so much of risk. So now when they came to Krishna, now Krishna started speaking. My dear Krishna gopis, why have you come here? Better you should go back. So now these words, they hit the gopis' heart like someone is stabbing them with the thousands of swords, or hundreds and thousands of scorpions are biting, or hundreds and thousands of snakes are biting, or their limbs have been cut down by the sharp razor's blade. So with this agony, now they wanted to merge their bodies into the lowest planet of this earth. So therefore they started scratching the earth with the toenails of their lotus feet. And they were shedding tears. Because Lord Shiva, when he drank the poison during the churning of the milk ocean, he could held, or he could hold that nectar, not nectar, poison in his neck. But the words of Krishna's were so poisonous, the gopis could not hold those words in their throat. It spills over, came out through the doors of their eyes. All those words were coming out from their eyes, and it got mixed with the black ointment kajal. And all those drops started falling on their bodies. So in this way, the gopis were full in pain and agony, but then Krishna understood their heart, and then he nodded his head. He accepted their request, and now he is ready to reciprocate with their love. As soon as Krishna gave the green flag, okay, we start. Immediately, Vrinda Devi and Yoga Maya, miraculously, inconceivably, they made all the arrangements. Because previously the gopis were not properly dressed, and they had haphazardly had come to the Vrindavan forest. Now, within a short time, all the arrangements were made. Beautiful dress, as per the mood of the festival, were provided to all the gopis. So now all the gopis, they surrounded Krishna. Krishna was sitting or standing in the middle. Now all the gopis were standing around Krishna. Now there was one circle above in the sky. All the stars were surrounding the moon. The full moon was in the center, and all the stars were surrounding the full moon. And there was another circle on the ground, Vrindavan's land. Krishna was standing as a full moon in the center, and all the gopis like a star, they were surrounding Krishna. But this circle, which was on the ground, was more effulgent, because the moon in the sky has spots, but the moon on the ground has no spot. Therefore, this circle was more looking more bright. So now, Acharya is right. Krishna, with his fingernails, of course, will not explain or go detail into the esoteric part. We'll only discuss sweetest portion of this. So Krishna started writing love letters with his fingernails on leaves of trees. And within a moment, he wrote millions of letters. And he handed over to all the gopis. So in this way, Krishna started walking towards Jamuna. All the gopis, they also followed the footprints of Krishna. Just like when Krishna comes back from the Vrindavan forest, and cows follow Krishna's footprints. So similarly, all the gopis, when Krishna was going towards Jamuna's bank, the gopis also followed him. On the bank of Jamuna, So beautiful pictures. The banks of the Jamuna were looking so bright and white like a camphor powder. It was looking so beautiful. It's a perfect arrangement of Yoga Maya and Brinda Devi. So as Krishna was performing different beautiful pastimes with the gopis, Krishna suddenly disappeared. So now, what was the need of Krishna's disappearance? In some places people say that, okay, the gopis became proud and therefore Krishna left. But the Gaudiya Acharya says no. Gopis can never become proud. If there is a tinge of pride in their heart, Krishna would have now reciprocated with them. They are completely free from all these voices. That's great pride, anger, especially that ego, pride. They are completely free. But then sometimes why it is shown that they have some pride in their heart? Because it is required. It was Krishna's desire. What was Krishna's desire? Krishna wanted to see. Please listen to this point, very important. Krishna wanted to see these gopis crying, weeping, and their love is intensified for Krishna and they are hankering for Krishna's association more and more. So therefore Krishna wanted to put them in such a condition where they are crying. Otherwise there was no need to go away from gopis. This is the pure reason. There was no pride in the heart of the gopis, but Krishna wanted to see them crying and weeping in a separation from Krishna. So what to speak of Sri Radha? If there is no tinge of pride present in the gopi's heart, how can there be pride in Radha's heart? Sometimes people say, oh, Radha also became proud and then Krishna left her. No. In one place, Krishna wanted to show the supremacy of Sri Radha amongst all the gopis. Therefore, he went with her. But at one point of time, when Sri Radha saw that Krishna is with Sri Radha, with her, and all the gopis are feeling separation from Krishna, there are pangs of separation from Krishna. Now the gopi, Sri Radha, as a soft-hearted, her nature is so soft, so compassionate, she thought that it is not good that I am alone with Krishna and all my gopi friends, they are feeling separation from Krishna. It is better that I should also be with them. So therefore, without Krishna's knowledge, she spoke such words by which Krishna felt that she has become proud and Krishna immediately left her. Externally, Sri Radha started crying and weeping, but within her heart, she was very happy because she knew that within short time, she will meet all her sakis, Lalita, Vishakha and other gopis. So this is the reason Sri Radha also spoke some words which appeared like she has become proud, but it is not true. So after some time, the gopis, especially Lalita, Vishakha, Ashtasakis, they met Sri Radha and they saw Sri Radha. She was looking like a champa flower fell down from the tree, like a moon fell from the sky, has become now crying, shedding tears. So immediately Lalita, Vishakha, they started fanning. Lalita started fanning with some leaves, fanning Sri Radha. Some of the gopis, they started knitting the hair of Sri Radha. In this way, now Sri Radha is heading and all the gopis are walking behind her and they started looking for Krishna. So after looking everywhere, they also asked some of the trees. So they came to Tamala tree and they asked the Tamala tree, oh my dear Tamala tree, did you see Nandanandan? Which direction did he go? Because we can see that you are in ecstasy. You can't even hear our words properly. But we can know you have been blessed by Krishna's association. There is some particular liquid oozing out from your body and all these bees are hovering around your tree. That shows that you are in ecstasy. But no problem, even if you don't reciprocate with us, it is fine because we know you are not in the state of speaking with us. So then they left. So then they came to Mother Earth and then they started asking to the Mother Earth, ओ भूमि देवी, कैन यू प्लीज टेल अस व्हिच डायरेक्शन द नंदनंदन गॉन? बट द मदर अर्थ ऑल्सो इज इन फुल एक्सटेसी. हर हेयर इन द फॉर्म ऑफ ग्रास विल फुल इरेक्ट स्टैंडिंग ऑन एंड. एंड देन गोपी से, वी नो वाई आर यू सो मच एक्सटेसी. It is not because of Vamandev's touch of feet to you. Vamandev also touched, with his feet to earth planet, but that cannot give so much ecstasy. Neither even Varadev's embrace can give you so much ecstasy. It is for sure, it is Krishna's footprints on your body, therefore you are in so much of ecstasy. So in this way, like a maddened lady, they are looking for Krishna everywhere. And finally, they thought, there is no point in searching for Krishna everywhere. You just sit at one place and do Harinam Sankirtan. Because in Kali Yuga, the process to attract Krishna is not going to the forest, going to the caves, or here and there. You just sit at one place, with the devotees association, chant Hare Krishna, Sankirtan, Krishna will be dragged towards that Sankirtan. So the gopis, on the bank of the Jamuna, they started singing the gopi geeta. So we'll sing some verses, but before that, I just want to give, because time is very less, we have to stop at 9:50 minutes. We'll try to finish some of the verses from the gopi geeta. So after the gopi geeta, when Krishna was pleased with them, so he again appeared in the presence of gopis. And then it is mentioned, so fair gopi and dark Krishna. So this was one couple. One fair gopi, one dark Krishna. In this way, again a fair gopi and dark Krishna. So there were hundreds and thousands and millions of such couples. So they were holding hands of each other. And they were dancing in the circle. So rasa dance means dance holding each other's hand and dancing in the circle. That is a rasa dance. And Krishna was standing in the middle, playing upon his flute with Sri Radha. This is rasa dance. So now, when the gods in the heavenly planet, even the goddesses, they also saw that such a beautiful pastime is happening, taking place in Vrindavan. They all came with their airplanes. And they also, of course, they didn't come on the land of Vrindavan Dham. They just kept hovering in the sky, but very close to Vrindavan Dham. When they saw this beautiful dance, they also wanted to do some service to Krishna and the gopis. So they started playing their own musical instruments, like Dundubhi. There is one instrument, Dim Dim, or Mridangas, and some other heavenly instrument. So they started playing those instruments, and Sri Radha and the gopis and Krishna, they started dancing on the rhythm. So it went on for some time, but at a particular time, the dancing steps which Krishna and the gopis, they took, it was unimaginable even for the gods and the goddesses of the heavenly planet. Vidyadharas, the Gandharvas, and Charanas, they are so expert in singing and playing instruments. But when they saw the particular steps of the gopis and Krishna dancing steps, they didn't know which tal to play, which raga to sing. Because the speed was so high. It is mentioned by the Acharyas, Krishna was dancing, but it appeared Krishna had millions of feet, millions of hands, millions of necks, and millions of hips. Now, who will play any instrument or sing any raga? One person is dancing with a millions feet, or millions hands, million necks. Now, who can sing on which raga or which tal? So, what did they do? They just kept quiet. They just looked towards the Rasa Lila with a humble mood. They say, yeah, good, 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 very good. And then, it is mentioned, the gopis and the sakis, they started singing. Sometimes Krishna would sing, he would take the lead, singing, and the gopis would follow as a chorus. Sometimes the gopis would lead sing, and Krishna would follow in the chorus. So singing and dancing was simultaneously going on. So at one point of time, even the gods also understood their limitation. So in this way, of course, we cannot go detail into this Rasalila dance. So finally, we come back to the Gopi Geet. It's so soothing. It's so nice to even hear. The gopis have shown that in this Kali Yuga, simply by chanting the glories of Krishna in Sankirtan, that will surely attract Krishna's association. So the gopis started singing the first verse. Gopya uchuhu jayati te dhikam janmana braja shrayata indira shashvadatrahi daita drishyatam dikshutavaka tvaidrita sava tvam vichinvate. The gopis are saying, all glories, all glories, all glories to Shyama Sundar Krishna. Because you have appeared in this Vrindavan land, this Vrindavan Bhumi or Vrindavan place has become very glorious. It has become more glorious than Vaikuntha planet. In what sense the Vrindavan Dham is more glorious than Vaikuntha? Because in Vaikuntha, Lakshmi is a Maharani. She is the queen. She is the boss. She orders everyone. She is the mistress. She is the queen. But in Vrindavan Dham, the same queen of Vaikuntha, she serves menially. You will never find Lakshmiji. Of course, she also does menial services in Vaikuntha, but still, the bhav is, she is the boss in Vaikuntha. But in Vrindavan, naturally, she is serving very menially. It is mentioned that Lakshmi Mata, of course, that is her humility, she goes door to door, knocking the door and asking for the gopis, please bless me so that I also receive some service and blessings of Krishna. See her humility. Although she is the queen of Vaikuntha, but she is going door to door in Vrindavan Dham, doing menial services like the gopis. Because she also wanted to part in taking Rasalila. So she was told that, okay, you have to milk the cows and milk the paddy, cow dung paddies, and so many menial services. So she was ready. So in Vaikuntha Dham, she is a mistress. But here in Vrindavan Dham, she is doing such a menial service. Therefore, Vrindavan Dham is more glorious than Vaikuntha. Because here in Vrindavan Dham, there is this Leela of Rasa Leela. It never happens in Vaikuntha. It happens only in Vrindavan Dham. So, therefore, Jayati, Jayati, all glories to Vrindavan Dham. The second verse is, Sharadudasyaye sadujatasa sarasijodara Srimushadrisha Suratnath te Ashulkadasika Varadanignato Neha Kimbada. Now gopis are telling to Krishna, my dear Krishna, you are the expert thief. And you are not expert thief because you steal some butter or ghee from someone's house. That is not expert thief. You can even steal away the pollen of the lotus flower which is there in the lakes. without touching the lotus flower. He is millions of kilometers away from the lotus, but still he can steal away, takes away the pollen or the essence of the lotus flower from the lotus flower. That is, this kind of thief is so expert without touching it. And therefore he says, the gopis say, we all chaste gopis, they have been protected by the system or this family system. They are very protected. But you are so expert in stealing the chastity of the gopis. And then he says, the gopis say, but you are well known for your protection. You give protection to all the innocent people, especially to your devotees. But now, neha kim vadaha, and why are you killing your own gopis for serving you without any cost? Just within 2-3 minutes, I'll finish. Because 9:15 is the last 2-3 minutes, I'll come to one last verse. Visha jalapyayat vyalarakshasat varshamarutat vaidyutanalat. Rishamayatmajat Vishvatobhayat Vrishabhate Vayam Rakshitamuhu. Now gopis are telling Krishna that you have been protecting the Vrajavasis from so many calamities. You have protected the gopis and Brajavasis from Kaliya. You killed Bakasur, Putanan and all these demons. So now Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, some of the pastimes will be happening in the future. Now this Rasalila is happening at the age of 8. Right? And then gopis are mentioning that Krishna has killed Bakasur or Agasur. Now this is happening, this will be happening in the future. But then how is that they are mentioning right now? So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, because they had heard the prediction made by Bhaguri Rishi and Gargacharya. So these gopis, they knew all this. Then Sanatana Goswami says, because Krishna is all omniscient, he knows past, present and future. And because gopis are tadatma, ekatma, they are one with Krishna. They are one with the desires of Krishna. Therefore, whatever Krishna's qualities are, those qualities are also injected in the gopis. They also, whatever Krishna knows, that much even gopis also know. So Krishna is all omniscient. He knows past, present and future. Therefore, gopis also know past, present and future. So therefore, in some leelas, pastimes will happen in the future, but they are mentioning even now. So in this way, the gopis, they are beautifully speaking and narrating this gopi geet. So today, we should pray. Of course, our acharya say that we can't just barge into Golok Vrindavan. We cannot force Krishna and the gopis, okay, I also want to be like this. Our prayers are very simple. Become the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant and ask for some service. And whatever we deserve, that will be given to us. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sharad Purnima festival ki jai. Mahamahotsav ki jai. Thank you very much. Hey, one last point, I forgot. One last point. Today you will see the darshan. All the peacocks are in white color. Generally peacocks are very multicolored. But today the peacocks are white. Because at one place it is mentioned that Krishna is very expert thief. He steals away when Krishna was standing on the full moon night. So moon was very brilliant, bright, refulgent, resplendent, splendorous. So Krishna stole away the kanti, effulgence of the moon without his knowledge. So moon also doesn't know how he lost his glamour, or how he lost his valor, or how he lost his effulgence and his splendor, and it was gone to Krishna. So similarly, when Krishna saw all the peacocks, he stole away their colors, and peacock became white. No colors. So that pastime also you will see in the evening. All the peacocks will be in white color. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.